Thanks, guys. Are you a little bit tired? Hopefully, it's kind of a nice kind of tired. I know you stayed up late last night, and we've been really involved getting into the Word and singing praise to God, things like that, all of which are great, but you do get kind of tired. And I understand that. But here's what I want you to do. If you've got your notebook, turn to the Pursuit of Holiness section. I'm going to try to get us through early, but we're going to have to work together to get it done and get it done right, because that's what we want to do. Before we dive into our study of God's Word together, I want to tell you, and I don't say this all the time, I really think that you're an exceptional group of young people. I want you to know that it's been great to be with you guys this weekend. A lot of you have had a lot of things going on. I know a number of you just completed a family Bible school, or you just got back from camp and you're coming to this. You do get tired. It's a lot of fun, but you get tired. I have really, really benefited a lot by being here with you. It's made my weekend really special. So God bless you, and I think that you are young people that want to be serious about your relationship with God, and that makes me really happy. Holiness is not a subject into which we drift. You just don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden, boom, you're Mr. Holy. You're Miss Holy. That's not how it works. Holiness is something that must be pursued. Three passages from the New Testament. The first one is Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14, in one translation, puts it this way: pursue holiness. Some translations say pursue sanctification, follow sanctification. But sanctification is just a big word, meaning holy. Pursue holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. How important is holiness? How important is it to pursue holiness? It is so important that without it, we won't see the Lord and be with Him. Think about it as the most attractive and desirable quality. And you really want more of this because it has to do with a great relationship with God. To pursue, there's energy, there's passion, there's enthusiasm, there's desire, and there's time, and there's an investment. Pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now go to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, there's a familiar passage. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, I plead with you by the mercies of God. Because God is so good, because God is so great, He's so awesome. Look at Romans 11, 33 through 36. And then He says, I plead with you by the mercies of God. Present. Holiness is about a presentation. God, I give myself to you. Present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Holiness is about presentation. Holiness is about motivation because of God's mercy, because of His goodness, because of His greatness. Pursue holiness. But then it gets even neater. It gets cooler. Holiness is about presentation and about motivation, but it's also about transformation. Holiness is an inside-out job. God works on us as we work out of love to become more like Him. He works in, we work out. It's a partnership. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And it's an amazing thing because transformation occurs inside out. There are a lot of people that may give the appearance of holiness outwardly, but there's a real problem inwardly. You know what I mean? But when God is really working in our lives, and as we trust Him in developing, perfecting holiness, 2 Corinthians 7:1, it's an inside-out job. Third passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Easy to follow along. Romans 12, 3 through 8 says, basically, it says this by way of summary. Whatever gifts and abilities you have, be humble. Because those gifts come from God. So we can never look down our noses at someone spiritually and say, I've got it all together, and man, you've just got all kinds of... What a messed up guy you are. We can't talk to each other that way. Because whatever happens in our life and gifts and talents we may enjoy, they come from God, don't they? And so we look for those gifts and abilities in others, and rather than resent others for having those things, we see God's gracious activity in their lives and we're happy because He's blessed all of us in special ways. You matter to God. Listen, guys. Listen, girls. Listen. Everybody look up just for a second. Thank you. You will never look on the face. You'll never look on the face of another human being who doesn't matter to God. People matter to Him, don't they? And Christians who want to be like Him, like Jesus, convey that. You can be happy. You can thank God for others' talents and gifts. What I want to do is focus with you on Romans 12, verses 9 through 21, because the passage really does deal with the pursuit. If you're pursuing energetically and passionately, these are qualities that you'll emphasize. If you're pursuing holiness, if you want God to work in your life, you're going to emphasize in your life qualities that will allow Him to keep putting the finishing touches on you to make you more and more like Jesus. And it's a lifetime thing. Ten commandments of holiness, we might call this. Look at Romans 12, verse 9. Are you with me? Here's the first one. Be genuine and... There's a blank there, isn't there? Right? Be genuine and real. Notice Romans 12, 9. Let love be without... What? Let love be without what? Without hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? It's the outward appearance of something that really doesn't exist inside, isn't it? It's play acting. Let love be without hypocrisy. Then it says, abhor or hate what is evil, cling to what is good. I can't think of a better description of holiness. It means that you want to stay away from what's not right, and you want to hold to what is good. Be genuine and real. Romans 12, verse 10, and the second quality or commandment. Notice what is said. Love and honor others. Love and honor others. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love or kindness. In honor, prefer one another. Outdo one another in trying to treat each other right. That's a pretty neat statement, isn't it? Love and honor others. Jesus has given the world the right to look at us as Christians and to examine the way we treat each other. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. John 13:34-35. Let love of the brethren continue. Hebrews 13:1-2. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22. As Christians, being like Him, being holy, means we seek to love and honor others that have embraced Jesus. Verse 11. A third quality. So far, so good. Everybody with me? Pretty easy to follow along, I hope. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Be passionate and zealous. Be passionate and zealous. If we would pursue holiness, what do we do? Be passionate and zealous. Notice what the passage says. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The passage is dealing with something there. Be passionate. It's something you take seriously. Guys, you ever talk to somebody about football and they get pretty passionate? Who do you like better? Texas? Texas A&M? People can get passionate, can't they? You talk about things with people a lot of times that they can really get passionate about. We need to be passionate about Jesus and holiness. Zealous. The word zealous is a word we don't use a whole lot. But it means to bubble. It means to boil. To bubble because we love Jesus so. That person's just overflowing with enthusiasm. They're boiling over. Keep looking at the Word of God. Where are we now? Romans chapter 12, what verse? Verse 12, you're doing a great job. Thanks for following along. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in your hope. Be joyful in your hope. Young people, be holy, pursue holiness, and understand that it's so worthwhile to be like Jesus because you'll have joy and you'll have hope. Notice this. Rejoicing in hope. I didn't just make it up. Patient in tribulation, right? Constant in what? Prayer. He deals with prayer. He deals with patience. He deals with hope. If we want to grow in holiness and to be more like Jesus, those are things we need. Patience. If it weren't for people and if it weren't for circumstances, I could be patient. Prayerful. Remember who's your Lord. Remember to communicate with God. Holy people want to keep the communication lines open. Romans 12:13. What number is it? Number 5? 5 down, 5 to go. After this one. Be willing to serve others. Serve others. That's what fills in the two blanks there. The blanks you got. To serve others. Notice verse 13 and what it says. It says, be given to hospitality and distribute to the needs of the saints. It says something like that. Now let me put it in terminology that we all can appreciate. Care about others to such a degree that you make them feel at home. That's being hospitable, isn't it? You care about others to such a degree that they are made to feel at home. Well, you're a young person. You can do that. In nearly every group, there's always somebody that kind of feels left out, don't they? They feel isolated. They feel alone. And even at an event like this, maybe sometimes that person can be found. But people who want to be holy want everyone to feel at home and to have a sense of belonging. Okay? And hey, Gavin, you can do a lot to contribute to that as a young person. You can help make somebody feel at home and included and have a sense of belonging. What it takes is just a little extra effort and time, right? It takes Jesus in your life. Distributing, contributing to the needs of the saints. Money, time, effort. You can make the difference in someone's day or week by contributing to their needs. You know, sometimes, young people, you go and mow somebody's yard that may not be able to take care of their yard, or you do something for somebody. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Look again, verse 14. Number 6. Think about this quality or commandment. Be kind in what you say. Be kind in what you say. Holy people, people that pursue holiness, want to be kind in what they say. Here's how I know this. Just in this verse, at least 2 times the word bless occurs, doesn't it? And then it says bless and do not what? Don't curse. To bless, to speak well, to speak encouragingly, to speak kindly. Be kind in what you say if you want to pursue holiness. In an age when it's really common to put people down and to cut and diss and slam people, we need to stop and think about being kind in what we say. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. And here's the idea. Do not let any unholy speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is useful to building up. That's Ephesians 4:29. One of the best psalms to pray. Maybe it'd be a good one for you to pray when you get up in the morning as you're getting out of bed. If you're like me and sometimes really have a problem with your words showing holiness, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Psalm 19:14 is an easy verse to put in your heart and mind. Be kind in what you say. Jesus spoke gracious words, Luke 4:22. Follow me now and look at Romans 12:15. In Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, right? Be kind in what you... That's what we just looked at. Now rejoice and weep. Be kind in what you do. Be kind in what you say. Be kind in what you do. You know, sometimes somebody is just in tears. They are hurting. It's generally not the right response just to laugh about it. To know that they're just really torn up inside. Being like Jesus means that we feel and we relate and we want to do, to act in the right way. What's the golden rule? That's right. When we are hurting, we want people to sympathize and to feel and hurt with us. But when we're happy, we want them to rejoice with us. This is great, isn't it? It's great. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. What number are we on? What? Thank you so much. Number 8. If verse 15 talks about being kind in what you do, and verse 14 talks about being kind in what you say, bless, and don't curse, then you get to verse 16 and it says, be kind in how you think. Be kind in how you think. Those people that pursue holiness want to be kind in how they think. Oh man. I think about that person and everything that comes to my mind about them. Man, That person stinks. They are a sorry excuse for a human being. Be kind, be careful how you think. Jesus was, wasn't he? Even toward the worst of sinners, people knew that Jesus cared, didn't they? Remember? The tax collectors and the sinners flocked to Jesus. Be kind in how you think. Jesus never justified sin. He never compromised what was right. And yet people knew that He cared about them. Young people, you could make such a difference in your world and such a difference in the church and such a difference for eternity if you would be more careful in how you think. 17 through 21. Said we'd get through early, didn't I? I'm going to keep my word to you. Don't engage in the sin of payback. Don't engage in the sin of payback, of getting even, of getting ahead. What is so amazing when you look at the Bible, whether we're talking about Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, John in the first letter of John, James, it's as if there's just the sound over and over that says, don't engage in the sin of vengeance, a payback, of getting even. Somebody does something to you, you get them back. And preferably, not only do you get them back, but you get them back a little worse. You know what I mean? Because they did something to you and you are hurt and you're offended. And the Bible says, don't engage in that type of activity. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? That's really tough. But Jesus practiced what He taught. Remember whenever He was being tried to open His mouth and defend Himself? When they put Him on the cross, did He engage in and pay back? Did He say, hey, listen, these people are mocking me and they say He saved others, He can't save Himself. And just a look toward heaven, and heaven would have opened and the angels would have come down. But Jesus did not engage in payback. That's a hard lesson to learn about holiness sometimes, isn't it? But when I stop and think about it, it's just vicious and it never stops. Isn't that right? Young people, you kill each other. And sometimes it's with your fist, and sometimes it's with knives, and sometimes it's with a gun. But often it's with your words. And there comes a time when somebody has to be strong enough in Jesus to say, it stops. It's not right. And I'm not going to engage in payback. It's not about getting even. I'll trust in God to deal with things. He's worthy of our trust, isn't He? God is big enough and great enough to handle things right. Last point. Those people who pursue holiness. Romans 12 and verse 21. Don't be overcome with evil. How does the chapter end? Don't be overcome with evil, but what? What does it say? I want there to be 100+ people that believe that with all their hearts in this assembly, in this group. No matter what people may do, no matter what Satan may try, I will not be overcome because of Jesus Christ and His power. I will rely on Him. I won't be overcome, but I'll trust in the Lord to overcome evil with good. You've listened well. Let's pray. Thank You so much for these young men and young ladies, God. We are so glad that we could talk about holiness this weekend. Thank You for each and every one of these young men and young ladies for their good hearts. We're all tempted, God. We're all challenged by Satan. We all have to deal with issues of pride, of self-image, of sometimes not thinking we're worth very much, but God, You have shown us how valuable we are, how precious we are to You in the gift of Jesus. We want to be holy. We cannot be holy on our own. Please help us, and we pray that through Your Word we would be strengthened. We pray that through circumstances we will trust You more and more. That we will not be overcome with evil, but that we will overcome evil with good. In Jesus' name, amen.